this. We have other things to talk about. No, but again, first of all, like your take on that, it makes it sound to me like you think Westbrook Ikhine is not getting the most out of himself. I think he's absolutely maxing out of his ability.
What I'm okay, he is maxing out,
so
like he could max out. He's making it like he could max out with his Houston and Denver game, which are outliers.
But you said you want him to say, well, we need to get more of him. I don't think they can. Okay? But if you're him and that's who you have to work with and you're asked why you think someone can do something, you're going to point to the positives.
The positives, but that, to say that the very best of him is what you can expect from him is being rose-colored glasses to the max.
All right. Let's switch gears. Kevin Byard, Christian Fulton, not there. Vrabel, very different responses about each of them. How do you view those situations?
Yeah, it's foolish for Christian Fulton not to be there. And look, Christian Fulton, Teron reported, is in Florida with a guy who's worked with LeBron James and maybe Dwayne Wade, who've had hamstring issues. So that's good that Christian Fulton has changed his off-season practices and gone to work with somebody, you know, who's going to address his primary concern, Vrabel's primary concern. But Vrabel didn't say, go do better stuff in the offseason and then stay away from us when we gather. He said, go do better stuff in the offseason. Go do better stuff in the offseason, which implies, you know, and be with us when we're together. He missed the second part of that, which puts him in a hole with Vrabel, and he's already in the doghouse.
Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com joining us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Paul, speaking of someone who did show up for OTAs, Treylon Burks, and you had a story on PaulKaharsky.com yesterday about how Burks got to Nashville for OTAs after overcoming some travel issues. I mean, what does that say about Burks, that he went above and beyond to make sure that he was there for the start of OTAs?
Yeah, he was hell-bent on getting back to Nashville, and apparently in his section of Arkansas, once his flight was delayed and he was going to miss his connection in Dallas, every rental car was taken up by something that was going on by Walmart. Five private pilots declined to work on a Sunday night, and they finally found a guy with a Cessna who was willing to bring him in on early Monday morning. This plane, the prop, was about as wide as Treylon Burks' wingspan. And so I've got a picture of that, and managed to get in right about 8 o'clock, which was when things started. But showed a determination to get in, and I think he'll probably be scheduling one flight earlier to give himself a little more elbow room next time he heads home for the weekend. But a cool story of determination to get back. And I think people will be juxtaposing him maybe from Christian Fulton, who, didn't want to be there, from a guy that was hellbent on getting on the field.
I ask about receivers at my own, at my own risk here, but what did you think about Burks? What did you think about Chig yesterday? What did you think of it, just about what you saw in general from the passing element of the day, which is really the most probably revealing stuff that we see in an OTA?
I think Burks, looked like a lead guy yesterday. I'm going to consistently decline to offer a lot about receivers throughout the offseason, because I'm not falling for this BS again where we get excited about guys. Chig's clearly good and ready to be a prime tight end for them. I thought I thought Levis showed a little bit of the inaccuracy that we're concerned about, but boy, does he have, the kind of body language that you want out of a quarterback, but he needs to be more consistent with ball placement. I'm not surprised to be saying that on the second day of OTAs, but that's something we're going to be watching closely, right?
Yeah, no, I thought, I agree. He missed some passes you don't want to miss. I thought you can see the ease with which he flicks that ball down the field. I also thought a couple times he took off, you could see the athleticism. He's going to be a running threat when he gets out there. What about Malik Willis? I thought he looked fine out there. It's just hard to – I couldn't really get much of a takeaway from him. But what about what you saw from him on the field and also heard from him afterward?
Yeah, the heard from him afterwards is the big thing. I mean, for him to say nothing changes for him with Will Levis there, it's just not true. I mean, he's going to go from being the second quarterback to being the third quarterback. So how could you say nothing changes? It makes no sense.
What about on the field?
You know, I think he's a little bit better, but there was still, one pass in particular that was coming right at a couple of us to Josh Wiley, who's got the biggest catching radius we've seen in some time on this team, where you got to put it, on him, and he failed to put it on him. So, he's very much still a work in progress. And I thought it was telling, when I asked Tim Kelly if they have stuff that they've specifically designed for Malik Willis, he didn't talk specifically about Malik Willis. He talked about specifically designing stuff for anybody with a unique skill set. So he made it a universal answer instead of a Malik Willis answer.
So we were talking, back to the Byard thing a little bit, Paul. We were talking earlier with Gentry Essis about the, what it says and all that stuff and what it means that he's not here. I mean, I totally get, if I were him, being a little bit offended and be like, you appreciate me. But also, do you feel like because of the way things have changed that, like, Vrabel is viewed more by – will be and is viewed more by players as management rather than – like, is that any kind of concern? Whereas when with some teams you have a clear, this is the front office, these are the suits, this is the coach, they're different, they're separate. Do you buy into that? Do you think it's changed?
I think that's a great point that I hadn't thought about, Joe. And this would be the first glimmer of that. But I would think the approach about the pay reduction was made by Rand. Now maybe Vrabel had a conversation right behind Carthon, but I do think there's a concern there. Look, it's a delicate thing, but it happens. So I don't think that, and then this is me speculating here. I wonder if you agree, but I don't think this is just him reacting to a standard request for pay reduction. I think they somehow botched it or didn't present it well or offended him in the way that they did it beyond just him being offended by the overall request. And I wonder if there isn't some patching up that they're going to need to do ultimately. And Vrabel certainly worked to do that at the podium yesterday. Jeffrey Simmons did his part, not that it's his responsibility, but everybody's speaking glowingly of Kevin, which you wouldn't expect anything different. But I think your question's one to monitor as they go forward with Vrabel in a bit of a more managerial role.
Paul Karowski, paulkarowski.com. Hey, by the way, your future co-host on Stilley and Pauly just texted me and said Howard Stern is off this week. So you listen to Howard Stern even with the fill-ins?
Well, here's what I do. I fall behind because I don't listen constantly. So I'm on the app. So I'm always listening to the show on the app, which has no commercials. And so I'm oftentimes a week behind like I am now, which is great. When I catch up, then I'm bummed out. But then I do listen to some, they play old shows and stuff. And I'll listen to old stuff from back in the good old days when I was in New York City.
Wow, fascinating. I had no idea. We learned a little bit more about PK Day. Thank you, Paul. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you, Adam.
You too.
Paul Karharski, paulkarharski.com. Howard Stern, huge super fan. Jared thought he caught him. Jared was like, oh, I got him in a lie. But he had an adequate explanation there. We come back, we'll react to some of what Paul said and see if we can be a little more positive about the Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex Road is presented by TJ Anderson Homes, a Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team to see why they are referred so often. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Joe Rex Road here with Adam Vingan in for Robbie. Michelle Knezovic, intern Brandon. Also, I'd like to invite you all to tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight, 6:35 p.m. at 94-9. The Fan, the Sounds take on the Iowa Cubs, AAA affiliate of the Chicago Cubs. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. So it's been a Titans day. Yesterday was OTAs, open OTAs. I think we have another one, I think, next week. I think that's correct. There's another one next week.
Yes.
And the week after that is 3 days of mandatory minicamp when everyone will be around. So
you hope everybody will be around.
Well, that's true. that's true. I mean, you don't know for sure, but typically there's some OTA non-attenders who show up for that. So I think we've gone through, Adam, a lot of takes on players, a lot of takes on media too today. But one thing we have not done is what we talked about the other day, which some people are asking for, which is your actual prediction of the Tennessee Titans. I'm at 9-8. Actually, are you on the record with you got something, Michelle?
I went through with Junie on our show, and I'm 9-8 as well.
9-8 too.
And okay. Jared is 11-6.
Is he really?
Which is the optimistic take I have heard about the Titans.
King Bobo.
Which he has said either means he's the biggest Bobo in town or he knows more than everybody else, and that's why they're going to be 11.
I will say
he is the biggest Bobo.
That does sound a little out there, but there are a lot of it could go this way or that way games. There are a lot of I think they could maybe beat that team.
No, it's easier.
Plenty of toss up games.
Right. Yeah. I know I'm sure when you did this, Joe, and I know Jared did it when he did his exercise, you're not just looking at the opponent. You're looking at, short weeks, bye weeks, things of that nature, home and road, to make your determination. So, for example, in week two, when the Chargers are here, they've got to fly basically across the country for a noon central kickoff, and that flight can have some effects on a team's performance, at least during a portion of the game. So, could that make the Titans, could that, favor the Titans enough for them to win? There are things like that you have to take into consideration. I, however, with the time that we have here.
Well, hold on. Before you start, because the first game, are you going to be a total Saints homer and pick the Saints?
I am. By three touchdowns? I am because
you're a Saints Bobo.
But the Saints haven't lost a season opener since 2018. The Saints have not been
much relevant.
Saints
sure.
have not been in the postseason lately, but that crowd is as good as it gets. And I think with the debut of Derek Carr, there'll be some extra juices flowing. I think it'll be a tight game, but I do think the Saints are going to win that game.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay.
That's my homer pick.
That's a toss-up game to me. It's a toss-up game.
I think it'll be close. I don't know what the line is, but I'm sure it'll be close. Let's see. Chargers. I'll say the Titans played the Chargers tough in Los Angeles last season. This game's at home. I'll give it to the Titans.
There's no way you're getting through this if you're going to be this slow.
Okay, so that's 1-1. Browns. You want me to go like this? Browns 2-1. I'm just going to say the Titans record after
there you
the
go. Yes.
Browns 2-1. Bengals 2-2. Colts 3-2. Ravens in London 3-3. Bye week. Falcons.
Off week or idle week. We do not say bye week on the show.
Sorry. Falcons, 4-3. Steelers, 5-3.
Ooh.
Buccaneers, 6-3. Oh, my God. Jacksonville, 6-4. Carolina, 7-4. Colts, 7-5. Dolphins, 7-6. Houston, 8-6. Seattle, 8-7. Houston, 9-7. Jacksonville, 10-7.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Boy, you.
That's okay. my very unscientific prediction. I'll say 10-7.
The one loss. So you have the Colts beating them. That's what I wonder about. But that's the thing. I mean, we'll see with the Colts. I just don't think their quarterbacking is promising. I don't get excited about a rookie. And I think especially Richardson. I think he'd be better off not playing this year. Sounds like they want to play him. But I guess the alternative is Gardner Minshew. I think sweeping the Colts is on the table. So I listen to your thing. You go 10-7, and I'm like, wow, that could easily be 11-6.
Jared is very mad.
And yet I went 9-8.
Jared texts me in all caps, losing at home to the Colts. Jared, I don't have. If you give me more time to do this, maybe I'll reconsider. But my very quick off the cuff is 10-7.
I love outrage over right now, predictions about anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, first of all, so many things we don't know about all these teams right now. And the Titans are going to be – the Titans could win 10, 11 games. And they could win six games. They're going to be in that many toss-up games. And they're going to be – how many close games are they going to be in? How many games are they going to be in where a really good kicker might make the difference? Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, how many games are they going to be in where a really good kicker might make the difference? Do they have one? I don't know.
Are there any games on the schedule that seem like a blowout to you against the Titans, like Buffalo last season?
That's the thing is, there's not much.
Maybe the Bengals, but that's
but it's
they
home.
Always play them
yeah,
pretty
they
tough.
They play them tough. It's home. I think their defense will keep them in that game. Like the Ravens, if the Ravens are as good as I think they might be, it might be a tough one. But that's the thing. Their schedule is very soft. And so for – look, people right now predicting teams at large, they're not getting into it deep enough. But if you look at the Titans' schedule and you think they're going to be like 28th, 29th in the league, man, I don't know how you could possibly conclude that. All right, when we come back, more from Adam Vingan. It is his turn on The Choice is Yours. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This.
We all have choices to make. This. Like right now. It's The Choice is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The Choice is Yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it's that time of week again, and we've got a guest question asker. Adam Vingan in the chair today for The Choice is Yours. I'd give it to you, my friend.
All right, so do you want sports or non-sports first?
Non-sports.
All right, so there are, if I have this correct, there are three critically acclaimed television shows that will be airing their series finales this week. Succession, Barry, and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is a big, big favorite, you know, a big favorite of my wife. What is your favorite television series finale? Not season finale, series finale.
Do you have an answer?
I need a minute for this. If you or Adam want to go first.
So I think that Breaking Bad had an incredible ending, and it's hard to beat that. But I tell you what, a show that I think faded late. It's a great show overall. It did fade, like a lot of shows. It weakened. It wasn't as good. But the finale, the absolute capper on Mad Men was unbelievable. It was perfect. So I think I have to think. I go with that. I like Sopranos. Some people hated that, but I'm gonna go with Mad Men.
See, as a big Sopranos fan, the obvious answer would be The Sopranos, of course.
So you like the finale of that?
The fade to black.
Well, don't spoil.
It's
no
been
spoilers.
Off the air for like 20 years.
Someone's going to get mad.
But I'm not going to go with The Sopranos. I'm going to go with The Wire, another HBO program. The Wire, a fabulous show. I thought the series finale... You know, it's not a show that has, you know, the thing about The Wire is it's a messy show. Like, it's not everything, there's no real happy ending. So the loose ends aren't necessarily tied up.
Again, don't spoil. I'm halfway through The Wire.
Okay.
Do not spoil.
I'm not spoiling it, but I will go with The Wire on this one.
Okay, we all know that the types of shows I like to watch, a lot
Vanderpump
of people
rules.
Don't.
Is that the answer?
No. That one's
Scandal,
tonight, actually.
No.
So this is a show on Hulu, came out during COVID, and they're actually, I'm not answering your question. This is just a series finale, or a season finale, sorry, Adam. But it was the first one I thought of. Little Fires Everywhere with Reese Witherspoon and the girl who's in... I can't think of her.
Yeah, I know.
Her
I'm
name.
Familiar with the show. Yeah.
But that ending is like cliffhanger. What is going to happen next? And they weren't, in my defense, they weren't going to do a season two when I watched the end of it. It was just going to be one season.
If it's a limited series, I'll allow it.
Yeah, it was
if
just
it's a limited series.
It was
I'll
just
allow
going
it.
To be one series. So that Honorable mention, but my number one is Big Little Lies. I don't know if anybody's seen that with Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon. It's so interesting the way they tell the story, and there's foreshadowing and going back in time, and then the last episode just puts every single piece together. But
that was a very good show.
Yeah, that takes the cake for me.
Santa in Portland says MASH and Sopranos. Shout out to Newhart, by the way. Newhart finale was pretty sweet.
Okay, so now to sports. The Denver Nuggets are in the NBA Finals for the first time in their history, going for their first NBA championship. The two teams that lead their respective conference finals in the NHL, the Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers, also have not won the Stanley Cup, although, of course, the Golden Knights did make it to the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural season, losing to the Washington Capitals. Which team that has not won a championship do you want to see win most? The Denver Nuggets, the Florida Panthers, or the Vegas Golden Knights?
I'll go first for this one. I think this one's pretty easy for me. I want to see the Nuggets win. I want to see Jokic win. I mean, watching him, and maybe this is just because I'm a basketball fan, but watching him in the playoffs, not only this year, but last year, you know, his infamous story of he was drafted during, a Taco Bell commercial, and then his name's right there, and then he becomes this just fabulous player, but the knock is, well, he can't win a championship. He can be the MVP, but he can't win a championship. So I think that's an easy one for me. It's going to be the Denver Nuggets.
It's easy to rule out one for me, the Golden Knights. Yes. Screw them. I mean, get out of here. It's close between the Panthers and the Nuggets. I think I'm going to go with the Panthers. I hear you. I like the Nuggets. I like their team, but also spoiled Denver sports fans. They just had a cup last year, so let's get a championship in South Florida. Plus, my next door neighbors. Shout out to the Kearns, huge Panthers fans, and I'm excited for them.
I'll go with the Panthers too. The only reason I would go with the Golden Knights is because I would love to see what a Stanley Cup championship parade would look like on the Strip. Yeah, that would be pretty sick. But other than that, I'm going to go with the Panthers.
No.
Great story. Love what Matthew Tkachuk's been doing. You know, Sergei Bobrovsky writing his redemption story. It's easy to root for the Panthers. Yeah. So I'll pick the Panthers on this one. All right. So next non-sports question. Michelle, you were not here yesterday, but I was enlightened about Buc-ee's. I've never been to Buc-ee's. We spent basically an entire segment talking about Buc-ee's. So it got me thinking.
That's just good radio.
It got me thinking about road trips. What is your go-to road trip snack?
We have to keep
it basic. So you can't say the brisket sandwich from Buc-ee's. Like something that's accessible at any convenience store, gas station, what have you, on the road. You want something to snack on while you're driving. What is it?
Yeah, I'm a big trail mixer. You know, if I'm being naughty, I'll do the chocolate mix, okay? But sometimes I'll do a little bit more of the yogurt, or, you know, a little bit more of the dried cranberries along with the raisins and stuff, which is like the antioxidant thing. It just depends. But somewhere in that, I'll take a huge bag of trail mix and just go nuts.
Michelle?
I think I'm Joe's long-lost child, because trail mix is, first off, my number one, but I have taken probably, I've done the drive to Chicago and New Orleans like three times in the last 6 weeks. Pringles. I have been on a Pringles kick. You know, just the container they're in, you can pop like five in your mouth at a time. They're so good. But then you will find yourself needing to buy multiple canisters because you just go through them so quick. So Pringles are my go-to.
Regular or a certain flavor?
I'm on a regular kick. I do the regular ones. I've had the pizza ones.
I always enjoyed the sour cream and onion.
Yes, those are good too.
Pringles back in the day. Mine is Skittles.
Oh, yeah.
Love Skittles. For some reason, when I'm traveling, I prefer fruity snacks.
Like, I was going to say, that's not fruit, dude.
Yeah, I know. Fruity snacks.
He's serving a fruit a day.
Purple's a fruit. no, but I, you know, this is going to make me seem old probably, but I even like Lifesavers. Like just plain old Lifesavers in the little wrapper. Not the gummy kind, just the regular old Lifesavers. You know, for some reason I prefer fruity candy when I'm traveling.
Gover has a good one. Pizza combos are very good. And someone asked me about no black licorice. Black licorice is number two. But now that someone told me that you can kill yourself by eating a whole thing of black licorice, you know, I'm
Joe's got to stay off that.
I'm trying to be a little bit more responsible with the black licorice.
So the final sports question. So yet another NFL rule change enacted yesterday, with an eye towards decreasing injuries on kickoffs. So this season, a fair catch on a kickoff will be placed at the 25-yard line regardless of where it is fielded. So it seems to me that kickoff returners are becoming an endangered species in the NFL. Who is your all-time favorite kickoff returner?
Oh, that's an easy one.
Gale Sayers.
I'm not that old. Mel Gray. By the way, Mel Gray and Lawrence Taylor both went to the same high school that my younger brother and sister went to in Waynesburg, Virginia. Mel Gray, for anybody who can remember this, and this is when I was still a fan of the Detroit Lions, he was unbelievable. Absolutely electric. Now, I know Devin Hester is an amazing...
That was mine.
...recent... Sorry. Yeah. You can still talk about him, you adopted Bears fan, you.
I was about
to
say.
But Mel Gray was... For anybody... YouTube some Mel Gray. He was incredible. Michelle, I guess we know your answer.
Well, here we go again with Joe stealing all my answers. Mine's Devin Hester. Obviously, I am the adopted Bears fan on the station, but... Ryan and I have watched a lot of his highlights, and Ryan's like, yeah, my 9-year-old brain, I used to watch him and my brain would get overstimulated because of just all the amazing plays he would make. And then we've watched a lot of highlights and he's not my favorite.
Dude, Ryan makes you watch highlights of old Bears players. This is
how much Rex Grossman have you watched?
Junie with his son watches in the off season Steelers just YouTube videos.
Oh dude, I can't even I mean, that kid's diapers are probably terrible towels, right?
They should be.
They're definitely the same color either way.
They're Bears towels. Browns.
I'm for people pooping on terrible towels. Vingan, your answer.
I'm going to go with Dante Hall.
Dante Hall?
The human joystick.
Good call there.
I mean, I thought about Dion. I mean, Dion was a great kick returner in his day, but, you know, Dante Hall, he was must-see TV anytime the Chiefs were fielding a kickoff. I thought about Devin Hester, but since Michelle took it and we want to all be different, I'll take Dante Hall on this one.
Travis throws out Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin was a solid one. Now, pride of Virginia Beach, just like me.
That's Percy right. Harvin. And, you know, close to Williamsburg, by the way. Allie in Bellevue has sunflower seeds. Jordan from Sanklin, dill pickle big sunflower seeds. Dill? Okay.
Dill pickles.
Man, someone's throwing out pork rinds. Ooh.
I've never been a pork rinds guy.
Snickers, corn nuts, yeah.
Corn nuts.
Okay. John Byrne says chewy spray and Cheetos. But you know what? I'm with Gover. Pizza combos per Gover.
Those are good.
Those are solid. Nobody said bugles. Dude, I used to love bugles.
Is it because it's hard to drive when you're trying to do the witch fingers and you stick them on your fingers? It's hard to drive with them on your hands at the same time.
I haven't had those in years. Those are the best.
Witch fingers.
Pizza combos, I'm just going to say. Combos, not a fan. Not a fan of combos.
Okay, that's fine. When we come back, final segment, Robbie and Rex Show, we will talk sports again. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today. Use promo code THEGAME. Final segment here on Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe Rex Road, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezovic, intern Brandon. Someone asked me earlier when I needed Michelle to text me Brandon's name to remind me, but she's blurted it out on the air. Someone was like, hey, you should do – well, I'll just do what he said. Hey, Brandon, do you know how to make an honored plumber? This is a reference to Kaharski not knowing Junie's name. Do you know this story, Vingan?
No.
Oh, yeah. So, like Junie was an intern over at another place that Kaharski used to work, and then he, like, worked with him all the time, and Kaharski had no idea what his name was. And so then he was in here at one point. We're like, you know, we basically called Kaharski out for it. But according to Junie, Kaharski always asked for Arnold Palmer's.
Wait, so part of
made the intern go get him on.
I was going to say, part of Junie's responsibilities was getting Paul beverages
and mixing it just right. Apparently, right?
Have you seen that SportsCenter commercial where Arnold Palmer makes the Arnold Palmer?
Yes, it's a very good. Yeah,
yes,
no, it's a very good one.
Do you think Paul is a sweet tea Arnold Palmer guy or an unsweet tea Arnold Palmer?
He's from the north, unsweet.
Yes.
Why would you make an Arnold Palmer with sweet tea? You already have lemonade. Do people do that?
They make extra sweet iced tea. So people like the sugar.
That is so nasty. That's the only things that I don't get. I love all Southern cuisine other than sweet tea, which is just, here, let's just rot your teeth out with a beverage.
Sweet tea, and sweet tea. Watch it here.
The very overrated.
Watch
know,
the text line.
The dessert.
Watch the text line for the next few minutes after I say this. Sweet tea is disgusting.
It's trash.
I agree.
It's disgusting.
It's trash. And, you know, the very overrated
dessert. Just watch the text
dessert.
Line.
You know the dessert. I'm watching.
The overrated dessert, banana pudding.
Yes. Exactly. It's
my mother-in-law makes excellent banana pudding, but it's not something that I will seek out otherwise.
Yeah.
She always makes it, and it's there, so I'll eat it, and it's good. But I will never order banana pudding.
I mean, there's tons of desserts you would rank ahead of it, as any sane person would. Okay, so it's been a Titans day. We've talked Titans. We've gone through a lot of things. I think we've basically been through the roster. We've been through the Byard situation. We've gotten your prediction, which is officially 10-7. I mean, this WHMR is churning out some hits today. We got 11-6 Stillman, 10-7 Vingan. We're both 9-8. I mean, does anybody at this station think the Titans are going to have a losing record this year?
Junie had an 8-9.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Junie. Voice of reason. Mr. Terrible Towel Diaper. I mean, the rest of the NFL has them going 4-13, and everybody here has them winning. But the thing is, I'm sorry. I side more with us homers. You know, I think their defense is going to be good. And I yesterday, just watching on the field, very limited in what you can take from it. Like Kaharski said earlier, not falling for the BS, and that's fine. Treylon Burks looks good to me. Treylon Burks looks like a guy who kind of knows what's going on and wants to take a big step. When someone has one season of football and can't stay healthy, at some point you got to prove that you can, and it's the same thing with Kyle Phillips. But I do think with those two guys and with Chigakonkwo, you're going to see some production this year from the pass catchers on this team. It's not completely barren, okay?
I liked Paul's story, which you can read at paulkaharski.com about, as he talked about with us, how Treylon Burks went above and beyond to get to OTAs after he had some flight issues. He couldn't get a rental car, so he squeezed into a plane, as Paul said, that's probably as wide as Burks's wingspan, and made it to camp in time, or OTAs in time. And I think that speaks very highly of Burks and how motivated he is to be a number one standout receiver for this team. And I think that if he can, take a huge step forward this year and be that go-to receiver, then perhaps we're looking a little less unfavorably at the rest of the group. But I guess I'm a little surprised that the Titans didn't bring in not exactly Julio Jones or Robert Woods, but to bring in that veteran type receiver.
Well, they brought in Chris Moore. I mean, Chris Moore talked yesterday,
but he's
not a top shelf. He has not been a top producer, but
right.
I mean, he is a veteran who I think will make some plays this year.
Yeah, I mean, I had high expectations for Robert Woods last season.
Yeah.
And it obviously didn't work out.
Well,
that
he's
way.
A great example of practice. Robert Woods looked pretty good, I thought, in spring, looked pretty good in camp, and then just really struggled. Now, look, did he struggle all because of him? He was coming off the ACL. I'll say he was in an offense where you had 0.9 of a second to set up to throw. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it was all a lot of it just didn't work because they couldn't block last year. But he was a disappointment, there's no doubt. And he is an example, a fair example of the spring and camp potentially lying to you. Now, I don't think it lied about Racy McMath having potential to do something. He got hurt, but we'll see on that one. By the way, the text line is absolutely going nuts about this. But for all of you on the text line right now saying, Yankee carpetbaggers, go back to where you came from. There's an equal amount of you saying, I'm a Southerner, I'm from the South, and you're right, sweet tea is nasty. So don't pretend like this is a completely consensus opinion that sweet tea is good in the South.
Like,
there are a lot of people from the South who don't like sweet tea.
I
appreciate you letting your voice be heard on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com.
I'd like to clear up a misconception about me. as it relates to being a Yankee carpetbagger. Although
you're a Virginian.
I did move here from Washington, D.C. more than 8 years ago, FYI. I was born in North Carolina and raised in Virginia. I'm not some, you know, snooty Northeasterner
who
looks down. I mean, my parents are New Yorkers, but I was raised in the South. So I am – I'm not as Southern as a lot of you. That's probably not true. But I am Southern.
Yeah.
I am Southern. So this idea that I'm some Yankee carpetbagger who comes down here and turns his nose up at people who like sweet tea, that could not be any further from the
truth. Hey, I've lived in the South almost half – more than a quarter of my life.
So that's what, 3 months?
No.
8 years?
Hey, I went to high school in Virginia. Does that count?
Well, you went to school in Northern Virginia.
Well, no. I went to, no.
No, you went to, wait.
Prince George County, which is not Georgia's, Prince George County, south of Richmond.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that counts.
So you're telling me that Northern Virginia doesn't count?
Northern Virginia is more absorbed into the D.C. area, I feel like, than Southern Virginia.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. We have really hit a lot of topics today. I mean, I feel like this was an award-winning show. You know what? I'm going to go home and I'm going to listen to it all back over again. But coming up next, Chase and Michelle, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.